This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
We continue to follow the actions of the Oregon State Legislature in Salem in the midst of a regular length session. State Senator David Brocksmith from the 1st District representing parts of Douglas, Coos, Curry counties as well. David, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Good afternoon, Kyle. Thank you.
Well, first of all, talk about what's going on today in Salem before we get to some of the other topics. What's been happening in the last few hours of the morning?
Oh, well, we have the Oregon Legislative Information System, and I have a bill up this afternoon at 1 o'clock that I think we call the Oregon Legislative Information System, OLIS. And I broke OLIS with that bill. It's Senate Bill 210, which is a conversation about whether or not we want to continue with mail-in voting. As you know, there's been some issues that came to light with non-residents getting ballots, ballots not making it through the postal system, and so forth. And we're going to have a discussion in Senate rules today. And there's, as of an hour ago, over 9,000 pieces of submitted testimony on my legislation. And it is a referral, so it just talks about you need a photo ID in order to vote in the state. And you vote in person one day, you can request a mail-in ballot 21 days prior to the election. And it has caused quite the fire across the state with folks submitting their opinions. So I appreciate the public process and appreciate the Senate Rules Chair for scheduling the hearing, and look forward to the conversation here within the hour.
Do you think, given all the changes in society since vote by mail began in Oregon, all the online transactions people are doing, paying their bills that way, paying just about everything that way, and used to that method for much of their life, do you think, though, there's going to be adequate support to go back to actually physically voting at a site?
I'm not sure. Glad we're going to have the conversation. The problem is I mean, literally, to get your driver's license, you need more information, right? You need a copy of your birth certificate, bills in your name. To reactivate your Facebook account, for example, if you're locked out, you need a lot of information. In Oregon, if you sign up for OHP, you're automatically registered to vote. When you renew your driver's license, you're automatically registered to vote. Another bill in committee today is actually when you buy a hunting or fishing license, your information would be transmitted to the Secretary of State's office to register you to vote. I don't know if we go backwards, but I'm just glad we're having the conversation because there's some serious issues with the current process, and I look forward to having the discussion with residents across the state, but also colleagues in the building and the committee that the colleagues that are in the Rules Committee here within the hour.
So what happens after the hearing? Where does it go next?
Well, after the hearing, they will or will not schedule it for a work session. If it gets a work session, then it would probably go down to Ways and Means. I would assume it doesn't currently have a referral to Ways and Means, so possibly not. It is a referral to the voters. again. So it sends it out to in our next statewide election in November of 2026. Well, the voters would decide whether or not they want to keep the current laws in regards to vote by mail or switch to this method as outlined in Senate Bill 210.
And do we have anything else regarding voting legislation out there in this session?
Well, there's lots of bills. With regards to voting legislation, I have a piece of legislation that's an elections integrity omnibus bill that would require, you know, equal members of the major party to be on the election board to assist in the clerk's office to, so that they're not only there together in processing ballots, but also there's a Democrat and Republican together going and picking up ballots from ballot drop boxes. There's a number of pieces within the omnibus bill that talks about elections integrity, and only certified ballot drop boxes. Oh my goodness, forgive me for not having it in front of me, Kyle, to roll through what is all in it, but that has not received a hearing, but this bill has.
So let's, we got a number of things I wanted to get through today. I think it was on Thursday. Talk about the Rock Creek Hatchery, kind of an update from late last week.
Yeah, so appreciate, the conversation that we had in committee. That bill is moved to Ways and Means out of committee unanimously. Grateful for, you know, DTO and the Umpqua Fisherman Enhancement Derby and Mr. Loomis and Matt Hill and all the advocates. Appreciate the Cow Creek tribe for coming and giving their testimony and the partnership at Rock Creek for rearing of our Simonids there. And again, it's a $1.4 million ask. It's a priority to make sure that we get those resources. Been working with ODF&W on that piece of legislation and the language for it. And look forward to it becoming part of the pieces of legislation that move out of Ways and Means and move forward in the process here in the next few months.
And are you seeing bipartisan support for this?
Yes, we are. As soon as we amended the bill to remove out the, as you remember, the ODF&W Commission, in the face of their agency not recommending, the commission voted to eliminate the summer steelhead program on the North Umpqua. And that was not the recommendation of the department. And so the base bill had reinstated that. That caused quite the angst with the environmental community. And so in removing that another, you know, few pieces of minor language change within the bill, we got a lot of the environmental for-profit nonprofits to neutral or support with Rock Creek. And again, appreciate all of the advocacy and work from the folks there in Roseburg and in Douglas County and, frankly, in the South Coast that supported it. So excited about the keeping Rock Creek open and the programs. As we talked about briefly last week as well, there's going to be rearing that is happening there, but also at Coal Rivers on the Rogue. Included in that will be there will be some resources to put some housing out there so that we can have folks stay out there full time as well as the partnership with the Cow Creek Tribe and their natural resources specialists and helping out there. And then turning the community space that survived the fire into really a learning center where we can get our youth out there and field trips and others to see, you know, what is actually happening in a live hatchery and how things are going. We also were able to move out last week. My Senate Bill 221, which is my fish incubation nursery bill. This is a partnership with the Coquille Indian Tribe, and it goes to all the rivers within Coquille. It's really the STEP programs, the salmon trout enhancement programs, and the opportunity for us to have these incubation boxes to rear more fish that we used to have years ago that the department went away from. Well, now we're bringing them back, and it's been a piece of legislation I've been working on for, since 2017. And so we got that through, and we will be moving it on the floor here hopefully tomorrow.
All right, more when we come back live from Salem. State Senator David Brock Smith. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1247 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Douglas County, Lars Larson, coming up at 1 o'clock. Tomorrow, we begin a series of programs for Child Abuse Prevention Month. Sarah Wickersham of Douglas Cares will be on Inside Douglas County. Live from Salem, State Senator David Brock Smith covering what's going on with the Oregon State Legislature. I read it earlier today, and then I circled back and couldn't find it, but I know that there's what I believe is a bipartisan proposal regarding cell phones in schools. We've been hearing that around the country. A lot of discussion on the topic. It sounds like it's somewhere in the Oregon State Legislature. I didn't know what chamber, but anything that you could tell us about that proposal?
Yeah, it's in the House, Kyle. It is a bipartisan proposal that has Republican and Democrat support. I did call my colleague, Representative Wallen, who is a chief sponsor of the bill, former school board member like I am. I have some problems with the bill as written. I completely understand the intent of the bill to keep cell phones out of students' hands during construction time, instruction time, but I have problems with the bill that is so extreme that literally the cell phone is off and cannot be used from the time the student steps on school property until the time the student leaves school property. There are some exceptions for appointments and so forth that will, you know, imagine, depending on the number of students within the school building itself, what that would mean for staff. But I am a kind of a local control guy, as you know, and leaving things up to the local school district where they already have the ability at this point to go ahead and draft rules associated with cell phone usage within their building or on their campus. This heavy hand-down approach from the state would supersede that, and currently I'm not in favor of it.
Well, we'll keep our eye on that one. That came up today. We'll check back on that at another point as well. Any update on the transportation package from the Oregon Department of Transportation?
No update. Of course, I'm not on the Transportation Committee, But they are hearing other pieces of legislation within their Joint Transportation Commission committee hearing. In fact, I had legislation last week that received public hearings. One was resources for dredging for a number of ports along the Oregon coast. And then another piece of legislation that would share responsibilities of the cost associated with that dredging, specifically two of my ports in Brookings and in Bandon testified in favor of the bill because there are culverts that that receive, you know, mud, rock, aggregate from state highways, county roads that end up in our boat basins. Brookings is an example that culvert that comes all the way from Highway 101 down to the boat basin, and it does have some drainage that comes in from county roads, ends up at the boat basin where the waves portion or the sling to remove the boats from the water so that they can receive repairs is located. That cannot be moved, and so it becomes a safety hazard for not only our local fishermen down there, but also recreational boaters that need to get their boat out of the water, and they cannot do it unless A, that area is dredged, or B, it is a high tide or an extreme high tide in order for them to be able to get their boat out. When it comes to Bandon's port, for example, the culvert empties underneath their dock infrastructure, which is very costly to remove that sediment that is being deposited. But yet, it's not their sediment. But the port itself is the one that has to bear the cost associated with its cleanup. So those are two bills that I had in transportation last week. But as far as a full-on transportation package, Senator Starr is the co-vice chair of Joint Committee on Transportation, and we have not received an update from him recently on where they're at.
Somebody asked me, because this tends to come up sometimes, what about agriculture legislation, anything there regarding farmers or farm employees, things like that?
Oh, yeah, there's some horrible legislation in Senator Golden's Natural Resources and Wildfire Committee. In fact, there's one up this week that is a major threat, Senate Bill 74, which basically directs DSL to look at navigable waterways or waterways on private property. And the Gut and Stuff Amendment for that bill would then have DSL, you know, move forward, and I wouldn't say eminent domaining that water on that property, but it goes as far as that there would be pushing for deed transfers and or restrictions. It's a bad bill. There was Senate Bill 77 that goes after in the same committee and in Senator Golden's committee. These are his bills that he's put in as committee bills that would limit our ag businesses and not only our ag lands, but forest lands from having any type of business on their land, which is a horrible bill. And Senate Bill 78, again, in his committee bill, is a bill that would restrict the amount that you can build and the size of your building that you can build, even if it was destroyed by a wildfire. Or if you wanted to turn an existing building into something else, which is just an affront against private property rights as well. So there are a number of bills that we're pushing back on that go after our private landowners, especially our rural ag and forest landowners. in the state.
About 30 seconds left. Any idea of how things are going to pan out here in terms of Oregon responding to some of the rapid changes coming from the federal level?
Well, we are having those discussions. Oregon's budget has doubled in just a little over a decade. We can't be everything to everyone. And Oregon has the majority party, Democrats, have pushed the Oregon budget to be reliant on roughly a third of the budget is federal funding. So as we move forward, we need to make sure that we can continue the services that we can provide citizens. And so we'll continue those conversations as we see more happening at the federal level, as well as here at the state and moving through our budget. And I'm glad I'm on Ways and Means to do that.
All right, 1258 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.